This week,
what's your speed?
David's in the hot seat with Devin.
You're going to have a real sore face because I'm going to hit you because I have to take control.
Rod and Corey cross the pond.
They're changing some guardrails.
A bunch of stones or what?
On a mechanical mission.
His original plan, I understood.
And stir up a showdown with Buffalo Joe.
It's my fault. I'm in charge of it. It's my fault, okay? Prepare the ship.
I understood was to go over there, take the airplanes, put them away somewhere, wherever we put them, and prepare them for winter storage, for corrosion.
Buffalo Joe McBrien is getting anxious.
But since September till January, they sat there and corroded, really. They're salt in it.
Joe's been worried for months about two of his CL-215 water bombers now being stored in Cardiff, Wales. The planes are overdue for scheduled winter maintenance. They spent all summer fighting fires in Turkey using salt water. And that salt water is Joe's issue.
The reason Corey went over there was to take the airplanes and wash them.
Once we get our, we got to get this part of
the check. No, that's what I meant, but that didn't happen.
Joe doesn't trust that the planes were well prepped for winter when engineer Corey Dodd delivered them to Wales.
Well, no, the original plan, we're stuck to the original plan.
Basically, he was taking shots at me, basically saying that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I didn't like that.
So from a maintenance point of view, you guys believe that you can take an airplane out of the water in September, and in January...
You're getting the wrong thing here. It's not like we just left the f***ing thing covered in salt and water and just walked away from it. That's what you're trying to blame us.
No.
And you know what? You can blame me all the way. Right now I'm really pissed off, so... You know what? It's my fault. I'm in charge of it. It's my fault, okay? You can f***ing blame me. Blame me all you want. So I don't even want someone to blame. Don't blame Adam. Don't blame Rod. Blame me. We'll talk later, okay? F***ing tired of this shit.
So am I.
I'm supposed to be the one in charge of them. So when I get accused of not doing my job, you know, I get pretty serious.
Well, we already told you last week what we were doing. I have nothing else to do.
Are you? We can't do this.
As far as I'm concerned, Roddy put the skids under that guy. If he wants to talk to me like that, he does work here.
No.
So I'll tell him right now then.
Well, then I'm going to have to go too, because I can't do that job too.
Corey got frustrated, said what he wanted to say, and stormed off, and Joe went storming after him. And then I went storming after him, just like a bunch of freaking chickens in a chicken fight.
Look, if you spend another day in this freaking drama show, I have to go too, because I can't do this freaking job.
We don't have to go.
You know what?
We don't have to go, right? Why don't you shut that camera
up? He shouldn't be interfering sometimes, because things are taken care of and it's all organized, and he tries to micromanage.
Whether Joe's in the right or not, Rod and Corey need to get to Wales fast. Early the next morning, co-pilot David Alexander preps for a flight up the Mackenzie Valley.
I think today's temperature is only about minus 34, 35.
That means David has one priority above all others.
Keep the captains warm and happy. When they're happy, everybody's happy. If they're cold, they're miserable, and everybody's miserable, so.
And today...
Cool this morning, isn't it?
David's captain is Devin Brooks.
80 kilometers per hour wind.
makes it cold.
Devin left Buffalo back in the summer to work on his family farm. He's been back here a month, flying under seasonal contract.
Okay, go.
And he's leery of David's skill in the C-46.
He likes things done the right way, and you f*** up, you're gonna hear it, right?
It's cold out.
He rides his co-pilots hard.
If you're doing a good job, you won't say anything. If you're doing a bad job, they'll say something. That's pretty much it.
But since Devin left, David's become a go-to co-pilot on this plane. He wants to show the captain how much he's improved before his upcoming license recertification flight.
What are you in store for today?
I have training to do on David on the way home, so David's due for his ride here in about 10 days, so may have to hurt his feelings a little bit, I guess.
Where's that other bonehead?
Here, take this one.
What's he over there staying warm, so see you later. Oh!
Even though David knows the 46, he spent the last few weeks in the DC-3, and he's rusty.
He hasn't been flying the machine too much, so it's tough to come back. Time away from that airplane, it gets harder on him.
Your crossway is closed, head pressures. Copy windows.
Not scary.
Oh, don't know what you're doing. Medical. Break that. Never. All clear in there, right? V1.
They're barely off the ground.
I can feel heat now. I can't. Aw, too bad, so sad.
And Devin is already giving David a hard time.
Jump his lunch bucket before he f***ing withers away and nothing. Did a lot of it. Yo, now you're just f***ing trying to be a tough guy.
Tough guy?
Tough guy, eh?
Tough guy!
The crew will make the first stop in Delaney, then head west to Norman Wells, before heading back home.
Down here, about radio Buffalo 318, estimating about 6 minutes. We're planning straight in runway 26.
Buffalo 318, roger that.
As they descend into Delaney, it's David's first real chance to prove himself, landing this beast of a plane.
If you fall behind the 46, it'll drop out of the sky like a rock. It's like a tank with wings.
David has to hit the runway with his front wheels first and quickly ease down the tailwheel. It's an exercise in precision. If his angle's off even a little, the big plane will bounce down hard onto the runway.
Tail's back, air's on the way. Nice
little wheel, 99, 71.
Final checklist.
What's your speed?
85. Holy f***, you're gonna tear the wings right off her.
80.
I have it.
80. Oh my.
David's angle is off. Way off.
That's four, David. Why'd you do that, David?
I don't know what I did there.
Bounced it. Bounced four times.
I thought I had it, but, I mean, you know, that extra little foot, you think you're there, but you're not. Yeah. And then it was just a couple bounces there, yeah.
A four-bounce landing is no way to impress Devin. And David's day is going to get much, much worse. Buffalo C-46 crew leaves behind their first stop of the day in Delaney.
Over here, take off.
And co-pilot David is still hoping to show Devin what he can do in this cockpit.
46, of course it's going to be a handful for him. You know, he only has 1,000 hours, maybe not even.
Every day you fly that C-46, it's either going to kick your ass or it's just going to kick your ass a bit, right?
And it never kicks harder than when a pilot's trying to land it.
No Wells Radio, Buffalo. 318. Buffalo 320, no Wells Radio.
Morning, C-46 inbound from LNA, 20 back.
As they head into Norman Wells, David's going to try again.
Hey, don't look at the end of the runway, you're going to be dead.
Today, David's landing is an extra challenge.
Is that a windy?
Here we are.
There's a heavy wind blasting right across the runway.
Finals are up, complete, clear to land. They're dragging it in again.
With its broad fuselage, the 46 is a prime target for winds that can push it off course of the runway. One of the biggest mistakes a pilot can make is keeping the nose tilted up or flaring too high. Every second it takes to get the wheels on the ground is another second that the wind can force the plane off course and off the airstrip. Today, David is flaring much too high.
100. Hey. Gonna stall. Holy. Oh, you missed it.
The front wheels come smashing down.
Oh, I got it.
And Devin takes over.
Some days you just feel like, you know, what are you doing here? You can't even land an airplane, right?
Please do not flare that high when you've got a crosswind.
So far, David hasn't impressed his captain at all.
A little bumpy landing there?
Yeah. it looked promising, but it's this airplane, you know.
And this airplane isn't finished with him yet. Down in Yellowknife.
So, Mikey, you rejected my password.
What?
Yeah. My mouth is open.
Rod has been grounded.
You don't have a passport?
He and Corey are slated to leave for Wales to check on the 215s.
I look like shit. Mouth must be closed. Oh my god.
But his passport photo is a no-go.
They're not supposed to smile unless you're part of the military. The military can smile on their passports because it gives an impression that they're friendly. But I guess the general public's got to look stern.
Rod's aiming to hook up with his boyhood hero, Iron Maiden frontman Bruce Dickinson. Bruce is an accomplished pilot and the owner of Cardiff Aviation, where the planes are being stored. Without a valid passport, the maintenance mission is on hold. And Joe's fears are on the rise.
Can you explain us the problem with the corrosion?
No, I can't. Nobody wants to address it, as you can see.
Joe's frustrations were escalating. When you're used to an operation that everything comes home at night, it's a small bush operation. Now we're a big operation bigger. That has airplanes international, and it's frustrating for Joe. I can understand that.
So Rod needs to get moving.
Yeah, it's f***ing pretty terrible. But we've got your freight here.
In Hay River, Will Dyer is facing a very late cargo delivery and some antsy customers.
Okay, I'll see you in a bit.
Will's a captain-level pilot who came all the way from Australia for a shot at flying Buffalo's warbirds.
I've always wanted to fly large, finned aircraft. I had to leave Australia to find that sort of work, and Buffalo was the best chance.
He's got almost 3,000 flying hours, but he's been stuck working courier on the Hay River ramp.
Everyone starts at the bottom with Buffalo.
I didn't know how difficult it was to work the ramp here.
I think it's about 9,000.
There's a lot of freight to deal with down here.
These little guys aren't going to make it.
Hay River is a temporary assignment for Will, just until Buffalo finds a new rampy and it can't end soon enough.
It's the biggest load I've seen yet.
What I hope is going to happen next is that Justin's going to come in and say, mate, we need you, nothing yellow and I.
Will's partner, Newfoundlander Ben Stiles, is picking up the new guy's slack.
So we're trying to move as fast as we can to get everything going so we can start our deliveries down here. It's one hell of a day. Bam!
For some of these big Canadian fellas, it's not a thing, you know? I mean, Ben weighed 300 pounds. He was a human forklift. You know, here am I. I've never lifted a box a day in my life. Never worked a day in my life, really.
Ben was already battling his own frustration on the ramp.
What do you want, 22?
But since he inherited Will, he's running out of patience.
Just leave it all there. Sort the stuff on the pallet.
That's what I'm f***ing doing. That's his f***ing period, I think.
It was definitely a cold day with the wind going across the airport and trying to sort all that freight.
Where's what?
Were you tempted to just quit and walk away?
It was definitely in the back of my mind.
I am working day by day. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, so.
And later that afternoon, across the lake in Yellowknife.
Buffalo's Mike speaking.
Mikey McBrien gets some big news.
Oh, no way. All right, thanks. So, Pete, you're a rock star?
Rock star?
Ben?
Jesus, help me.
Ben has just quit.
I came up here and I gave it a good shot, and it just didn't work out for me, so that's all I can do.
What's the reason?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It does matter. I gotta be honest with you, I do not have a shitload of resumes.
If I sat for an hour and talked to Ben and talked to Will, I probably would have put my money on Ben staying. Will's now headed the back.
With no replacement in sight, Will could be facing a very long, cold winter in Hay River. ...700 kilometers up the Mackenzie Valley, Buffalo C-46 crew is heading for home. And David's going to get grilled on the way.
I got questions, but they're going to wait for takeoff. David's getting pop quizzing.
He's already had a rough day. This last leg is his last shot at redeeming himself with Devin.
031 for Peewee.
David will be handling the controls for the takeoff. And it's about to go very wrong.
Oh, it's 318 takeoff.
A pilot accelerating down the runway applies back pressure, pulling on the yoke, which aims the plane's nose up for takeoff. But pull up before reaching minimum safety speed, and the plane can get airborne too soon and too slow to maintain lift and fall out of the air. The safe speed for a C-46 takeoff is 88 knots. And as David applies the back pressure, he isn't even close. On the airstrip in Norman Wells, co-pilot David Alexander is speeding up for takeoff in the C-46. But he's not going fast enough when he pulls back on the yoke.
Fly the plane.
Devin takes over.
You're flying at 75.
I didn't even know he was flying.
Well, I was always told when I had the air pressure, you had to the back pressure.
Yeah, you can have a little bit of back pressure. You're not supposed to have back pressure so you're flying. If that engine goes right there, what the f*** are you going to do? Guy, it's so loud in here. One thing is you're going to have a real sore face because I'm going to hit you because I have to take control because I can't hear you. I'm yelling at you because I don't want you to f***ing kill yourself and not to kill me.
This day has ended far from the way David was hoping. And as the crew heads into Yellowknife,
All four.
Devin handles the landing himself.
95, 92. Nicely done, boss. Nope.
David will have to put today behind him before he flies with Devin again. Days later, with his passport problems behind him, Rod has made it across the Atlantic Ocean.
I wonder actually where we are.
I don't have a clue where we are, to be honest with you.
No idea.
Man, it's busy here.
It is so busy. It's hard to believe. It's just a big culture change in Yellowknife, that's for sure.
I hate people.
They're en route to Wales, and they're taking some time to soak up the sights.
It's a big clock.
It is a big clock. Somebody has to fix it.
We're just used to being, you know, when you walk down the street, there's not a million people walking down the same street. There's, you know, 10.
That's pretty amazing how many people there are. Well, it's busy, busy. Just like being west of the Mall at Christmas time is my only experience with that, really. There's not even walking rules. You just kind of wander around like zombies here. It's hard to believe there's this many people all doing something.
It's a shock for the boys, but they're trying to develop a taste for British culture.
Here, this one for Joe. Mikey. Joe. I'm away. Even though I was saying the steel fridge, nothing sticks to it.
And you're done chopping now.
Yeah.
Now the real tour can begin.
The whole royalty thing does nothing for me. That's what it is. Palaces. Are they castles? Castles are cool. I haven't seen a castle yet.
Look at that big horse.
They're just in time for a big spectacle.
They're changing some guard around.
Changing their shorts or something. I think it's just a big show they put on. They got nothing better to do to justify this huge building.
It turns out that history and pageantry aren't really Rod and Corey's strong suits.
Waiting for the queen to come out. Haven't seen her yet. An open window there? Is that where the queen sticks her head out or what?
Yeah. Throw some flowers or something. That's where she throws her cigarette butts out.
Those are empties.
Now they're due to meet their UK host, Bruce Dickinson.
There you go. Drop a little airfield.
And Bruce is taking them to see a whole different kind of history. Here at the West London Aero Club.
Imagine the flights this place has seen, eh?
Yeah, a bit of history here.
A place where Corey and Rod can finally feel at home.
This little thingy.
Oh, wow. Well, the neat thing about that place is basically it's an airpark that it's mostly all single-engine airplanes.
There's old vintage aircraft and biplanes and open cockpit and a huge community of aviation enthusiasts that you just don't really see here.
That's great in the
game. Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that, yeah.
How simple is that?
Yeah, great. It goes up to 120 miles an hour, at which point you're off the end of the world.
That's funny, you hang around the big airplanes and you kind of forget about all the where it started, eh?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Vacuum instruments.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Venturi.
You lose sight of all the cool stuff.
Oh, wow. Never even seen one before.
They shipped hundreds of these out in Canada.
Look at that, eh? I'm just amazed that all these things are in here, like, as normal airplanes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice that they're actually flown and not just sitting in a museum.
No.
It's a flying museum, right?
Yeah. Look at that, we'll have a little bit of character, eh?
Like, yeah.
But the history here goes a lot deeper than old planes.
Amazing.
White Waltham Airfield was the base of Britain's Air Transport Authority. During World War II, the ATA ferried over 300,000 planes to RAF squadrons and helped turn the tide in the Battle of Britain. Steel pads underneath the grassy runways allowed a huge volume of air traffic to take off and land here, while keeping up the disguise of a quaint country airport.
B-17s, all the big heavy bombers that they were bombing, you know, the Germans with, they'd fly them into this place. We still operate the same engines and stuff that they were using World War II. So it's different for us because we go to see all this stuff, but we're still flying in history.
Holy crap. Wow. Look at that.
For all your maintenance requirements.
Yeah. Obviously, they haven't called them in a while.
We're going to have to hide that if Joe comes here. Oh, I can use that.
I got like four of them, I think.
Hey, four or three? Four.
Sounds like a little three, eh?
It's been a good day after all, and a very different vibe from the hangar back home.
Oh, he's doing air 19. Oh, yeah.
Those pilots were quite happy to hang out, drink coffee, drink tea, fly their vintage aircrafts, and just be real.
But tomorrow, Rod and Corey head for Cardiff. And if Joe's planes aren't in perfect shape, the boys might not want to go back home. On a country road in Wales, Bruce Dickinson is taking Rod and Corey for a ride.
And a 15-year-old Land Rover that's squeaking and chattering and clutch.
I didn't realize they do 100 miles an hour for these things because he drives like a maniac.
Nothing passes.
They're speeding toward Bruce's Cardiff hangar to reunite with their planes. If they make it that far.
This freaks me out.
This is where I make the mistake on the country road, turn down here and forget what side to be on.
It doesn't really matter as long as you move over.
Yeah, Rod was in the front seat, which I think I felt better in the back seat because at least you got a little more area between you when you do smash into something.
Luckily, there's some quaint Welsh scenery for distraction.
They got a little thatched house.
Is that actually a real roof like that?
Yeah.
That's where you hide all the weed?
Yeah. There's your birds.
There's your birds. We left them 4 months ago.
But before Rod and Corey get a chance to see how Joe's ducks are holding up, Bruce wants to give them the grand tour.
Here's our hangar number one.
Man, oh man. Holy smokes. Twin hangars, huge, that would fit 747s.
It was designed for a VC-10 to sit nose in.
Yeah.
It's a state-of-the-art facility, fit for a rock star.
Like, I mean, you put all our 215s in one side, it's still have room.
And it's a long way from what the boys are used to.
Well, so that's the cockpit.
That's the cockpit. I'm going to get in and check it out.
Yeah, I could get into this.
The machine shop that's in that hangar is state-of-the-art. You could build an airplane with what's in that room. I mean, there's millions and millions of dollars of equipment in there.
Look how many bits are on this thing. Unbelievable.
Now Rod and Corey need to get down to work, and they need to hope that Joe's fears are unfounded.
Yeah.
It's early morning on the Hay River ramp. And Will's already having a tough day.
Yeah, it's the first time I've had where you know you have to go to sleep, but you put it off because you don't want to wake up.
The Sked and the morning freighter are both warming up. And the work is all on Will's shoulders. Will turned down a captain's job in the South Pacific for a chance to fly a vintage DC-3 for Buffalo.
Have a good one.
And he has no idea how long he'll be stuck pushing freight in Hay River.
Because up until now, no one speaks to me. I've seen no indication that I'll be flying. And if they hired people for here, I could go to Yellowknife. That's not an entitlement, but I'd really like it to happen.
Let's go!
Because you get to Yellowknife, you're surrounded with beautiful aircraft, and you know, I can see the mechanics working on engines, and I can be involved.
But today, only the planes are heading to Yellowknife.
Are you feeling kind of abandoned?
Yeah, man, when everyone f***s off and I'm just left here to do this shit. bullshit, man.
Crap everywhere.
In some ways, I wish I'd come here at the beginning of my career, because then you don't have any options, so you just knuckle down and do it.
It would be too easy if this shit didn't happen. Right? This would be too f***ing easy.
I'm in touch with my mates back home, and they're saying, hey, we need guys right now. What are you doing? Are you flying? And I say, no, I'm not flying. They're like, come on. Stop wasting your time. Come back, fly our airplanes.
There aren't really enough people around to make the job as easy as it could be. So it's a grind. And it's f***ing cold.
Will's had enough. He makes a call to head office in Yellowknife.
Hi there, it's Will calling from Hay River. How's it going? You've got to cut your losses, right? No one to hold them, no one to fold them, and that was going to be one to fold them. Justin, look, I need to fly. I feel like I'm wasting my time on the ramp here. Like, I do. Like, I want to fly something, and I'm getting job offers left and right back home, and no one tells me what's going on. No one tells me what the plan is. Like, it's all just speculation, and I spoke to Justin, and I just said, I'll pull the pin on the 9th.
Okay, speak to him.
That's just a couple of weeks for Will to either get into a cockpit or get away from Buffalo.
The reality is, after a certain amount of time, if you're not flying an airplane, and that's what you do for a living, I didn't train to be a f***ing career driver, right?
In Cardiff, Wales, Rod and Corey are finally getting a look at the condition of Joe's planes.
Well, look inside, old girl.
Joe was anxious about the status of the airplanes, rightfully so, because they had been picking up in salt water in Turkey.
So we left it. It's all one piece still. Maybe a little cleaner than we left it, but...
Yeah, they're clean.
Bruce's crew has completely cleaned up the planes and prevented any corrosion. But the boys still have work to do. They need to pull the water bombing system from one of the planes for its scheduled maintenance.
He's nice and dry in here.
Yeah.
So if you need anything,
it's going to go. Okay, that'd be awesome. Thank you so much.
Step one, they need to empty the fresh water that's still in the tank.
Well, it's just water anyway, so.
Now that they've carefully drained the hold, they need to set up in the dark belly of the plane.
It was sure nice to have some light inside. As long as we don't get zapped by 220 power, we'll be all right.
And the simple act of plugging in their work lights...
You'd think there'd be a lot more power out of this.
...is a problem.
Well, I guess we're not in North America any longer.
In North America, we just have normal plug-ins, right?
This is all weird, pronged things.
Basically, we got $1 million worth of equipment here and not a $25 extension cord. I'm totally lost right now. Why does it all have to be f***ed up like that?
Oh, because I got a funny accent. That's why I got funny power plugins.
Oh, shit, eh?
It's another case of culture clash for Rod and Corey.
Problem is, it doesn't have the right bulb plug in it.
So I might have a good question or a dumb question.
What's that, Mike?
Where is this?
10.
Where does it go?
This will go into a transformer.
Great summer ratchet.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Finally, they can get down to the work they came all this way to do.
Perfect. Ooh, that might just do it, eh?
At the Yellowknife Airport, it's reunion day for Devin Brooks.
Get the escort.
Devin's wife Janelle and son Oscar are finally in town for a visit.
Hey, little bulk.
How are you?
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How are ya?
Holy, that was from home.
He didn't want to sit still?
He did not sleep at all.
Give daddy a kiss. Ooh. Thank you, buddy.
It's really nice to get them up here. I might have to stay a little longer than anticipated because of some contracts coming in. Good boy. Keep pushing. Going right through the glass. Good boy.
Devin's bringing the family to the hangar for a quick hello.
Want to walk?
You're gone now. See what's going on.
You're not too happy to see me, are you?
You have not had a haircut yet. Can I see you for a minute?
Here you go,
Oscar.
You're okay.
Oh, it's okay.
Does everybody say you look like your mom? Then you better start smiling.
He's kind of a serious guy like his dad.
Seeing his family might be lightening Devin's mood. But that won't be enough to help David if he doesn't up his game in the cockpit today.
Hey, that 46, you got to keep flying it and just keep practicing. You just come back the next day and work harder, and hopefully it comes, works out.
Once again, David will be flying up the valley under Devin's scrutiny. As the crew makes the approach into Norman Wells, David is facing his first landing.
Yeah, Roger. It's good. Here she comes, tails on. Curve air's coming cold. Drag the wheel.
And this time, there's an added challenge.
There's a headwind.
Hey?
Headwind.
A 30-kilometer headwind requires crucial timing.
Right there, 105. Now when you get on profile, stay at 105. Now you're flying ahead of the airplane.
The plane speed indicator gauges the airspeed, the rate of travel relative to the wind rushing past. But the actual ground speed will be 30 kilometers an hour, or 16 knots slower. So David has to keep his power up and make sure he times his descent perfectly to line up with the runway.
Remember, as you go lower, power goes up. So bring it back that inch or so. Not too far. You'll just have to add it. Got a load on, remember? Now you're struggling to stay on profile. What do you do?
No.
No power change, yes. Look at how that slows you down. Now you'll pull the powers back again, won't you? There. Fly there. Let the plane do the work. At 95. Now what do you do? Or five. Got them all. Now don't touch the power. And don't dive. Let the airplane do the work. Ground effect's already slowing you down. Already slowed down 5 knots. There's 89 knots. Just start to round out at hat hair. There's 85 knots. You're on ramp. Throttles are yours. Pitch. Hold it. That was easy, wasn't it?
That 46 really beats you down, but when you get on top of it, it's a great feeling for sure.
And David's finally shown Devin that he can handle this bird after all.
They're sheepish, eh?
Well, I guess that's what that means, eh?
Sheepish.
Rod and Corey are on their way home from Cardiff.
What's the deal? A bunch of stones or what?
I don't know how they got here or how they did this.
Well, someone knows. Someone's got the secret.
The Romans forgot to ask the Druids how they did it before they killed them.
Maybe lack of communication again?
They're trying to enjoy some more of Britain's rich history.
It's a bunch of rocks in the middle of a green field. It wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. I'm not totally in awe.
Once again, the traditional tourist stops just aren't cutting it with the boys from Buffalo. Luckily, there's one more site to see along their route.
Concord is behind locked gates here.
There it is.
Right through here. Oh, there she is.
That's freaking cool, man. I can't imagine it a lot bigger.
It really looks like a dart. I haven't seen Concord in real life, especially a British Airways one, which is kind of iconic.
The Concorde was the world's first and last supersonic passenger jet, with a cruising speed of 2,200 kilometers an hour. 14 Concordes went into service for British Airways and Air France starting in 1976. But after a deadly crash in 2000, passenger numbers began to decline, and in 2003, the Concorde was retired.
It's too bad they stopped flying them, eh?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a shame.
It's one of those things you'll never get a ride on, though, eh? That's it.
After finishing their work and sharing a moment with a piece of aviation history, Corey and Rod can head home. UK mission accomplished. At the Yellowknife hangar, Mikey McBrien is still reeling after Will Dyer's ultimatum.
Justin's got a call from Will, and I guess Will said that, you know, he's not being checked out, you know, this next week he's going to be leaving. And that's just not something you say, you know, if you've only been here for 4 months. It's stupid. You know, I don't even understand it. Why would someone work so hard just to say something stupid and give an ultimatum? Ultimately, you know, Will's done. No faith in that guy.
The next morning, down in Hay River, Will's changing his tune.
It's pretty, compared to yesterday, it's pretty mild.
Standing here, this old girl taxied in, I thought, how can you come this far and work towards this, get so close, and then leave empty-handed? It'd be terrible.
The DC-3 is Will's favorite plane in the world, and this is a reminder just how close he's come to flying it.
I realized, personally, I'd made a mistake. I hadn't achieved what I wanted to achieve, and it's only once you don't have any possibility of it happening that you can see the bigger picture, and you get that feeling of dread that you're going to have for the rest of your life, that you've blown it big time.
The last thing I want to deal with is a pilot making demands. Right? I want people that want to be here and not give ultimatums.
Will's crossed the world to fly the DC-3, but he might have just destroyed his chances.